Hello and welcome to episode 15 of A Bunch of Nuts. It is our Ezekiel Elliott episode, and I'm joined here by Big Cass. And as always, we are presented by the Armchair All-Americans. Take a seat with us. And how are we doing today, Big Cass?
Well, better than yesterday. I mean, obviously, we could actually sit here and talk football and everything that's going on. High school football is starting. I'm watching one of the teams, two of the teams that I will be covering this year on MegasportsNews.com. I'm the color analyst for Columbus City League football here in Columbus, Ohio. So I'll check that website out. Check out tomorrow night as we're at Marion Franklin. So I'm prepping for that. And but better than that, I'm doing great, man. We got our coach, though, but not for 3 weeks, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because we don't have him for Oregon State, TCU, and Rutgers, but he can start coaching practice, you know, after the Oregon State game. So it's like he's suspended, but he's semi-suspended, and it's kind of confusing. But you know what? I'm doing all right. It's not the best case scenario. I don't think we're all no one's happy, I don't think, with the outcome. Both sides of this, but you were set.
I kind of am, though. Like, I kind of understand on both sides of the story. Other than that, I mean, I'm going to say this, excuse my language, and I'll pay the consequences from Armchair. But I mean, other than Urban Meyer and Ohio State getting ripped a new butthole from ESPN. I'm kind of happy with it. I feel like Ohio State did what they needed to do. I believe Ohio State believed that the three-game suspension, after reading all, everything that has come out, I'm happy with the decision. Yeah, it's a PR standpoint. We still have our head coach. I believe that Urban Meyer, he's a human being. He makes mistakes, and the biggest question was, in my opinion, was why he kept Zach Smith in the first place. And I liked what the committee said, and they said that they didn't see him or Gene Smith doing any wrongdoing or covering anything up, and that's what I wanted to hear.
I mean, some people have been critical about the fact that Urban Meyer has only been suspended 3 games, but I want to point out that, you know, Ray Rice in the NFL, he was only suspended 2 games, and he's the one who actually hit someone. So,
Jameis Winston is only suspended 3 games this year.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, college, 3 games is a fourth of the regular season. So I think it's a fair punishment. I mean, it is what it is. But we're gonna talk more about that whole situation. But I mean, right now I'm just excited. Football's back. I'm watching the Browns Eagles game right now. It's 5-0, kind of a boring game, but Denzel Ward got a little hurt. Hopefully
is
he's
the Phillies playing or something?
Yeah, they're playing Philly.
Yeah, I mean, is it the Cleveland Indians versus the Philadelphia Phillies? I mean,
it's a weird game. It's about to be halftime too. But yeah, we'll see what happens with that. But let's get into our first segment of the week, Big Cass, the Cardale Jones tweet of the week. You had a good one.
Yeah. A gentleman, and I found this today as I was looking for the tweet of the week, and I couldn't find the one of the two midgets that said it was Connor McNugget versus Floyd May. Like, I don't know, I couldn't think of it, but I found a good one, and it was this guy named Benjamin Albright. Okay, Benjamin Albright tweeted out and said, "My God, Madden modeled the face of every backup quarterback in the game after me." And it's literally Nathan Peterman, Danny Etling, Luke Falk, and Tanner Lee. And they all look just like him. Either they have eye black, no eye black, 2 strands of eye black, or, yeah, it's pretty hilarious.
I mean, speaking of Danny Etling, how did he get drafted over JT Barrett? Can someone explain that to me?
How did Tanner Lee get drafted over JT Barrett?
I mean, and JT is looking good. Like, he scored a touchdown in the last preseason game. He rushed one in from like about 15 yards out. He's looking like he's learned that offense. My Cardale Jones tweet of the week, Big Cass, is 11 Warriors tweeted out, you know, about the Board of Trustees meeting, and someone quote tweeted it. His name's Missouri Noah. His handle's @Noah_Elmore, and he writes, "Breaking: Ohio State Board of Trustees votes to replace Urban Meyer with luxury apartments."
I did see that, and as I was for a little humor that was going on while everything this was going on, and I think everybody who was on the broadcast, but nothing against our good buddy Tennessee Jeff, who is out there, but what's with these fans, like the guy
Missouri Noah.
Yeah, so Tennessee Jeff has started a trend, everybody, that we'll just start putting a state behind in front of our name and become, you can be Jersey Dan.
I prefer Jersey Don. Like I gotta be Don. It's like more Italian and like Jersey Shore. Don. Jersey Shore.
Yeah. Jersey Don. I mean, why not? I mean, I could be old Ohio Cass or something, you know? Kind of goofy, but yeah, that was the luxury apartments. I've seen some great things. I've seen where they put the glasses and a mustache on Urban Meyer and said, breaking news, they Ohio State fired Urban Meyer for, and then replacing him with Mervin Iyer. They put some humor into it, but I'm glad, going back, I'm glad the investigation is over. But yeah, that was a funny tweet, the luxury apartment.
I saw one too. Instead of not Mervin, whatever you said, it was instead of Urban, it was Rural Meyer. That was pretty good. I like that. But all right, so obviously Urban Meyer suspended for 3 games. Gene Smith, he's suspended for like from August 31st to September 16th. He's without pay. That's basically just a nice little vacation for him.
Yeah. By the way, just a little insider from a inside scoop from an employee that I kind of know from the university. I don't know personally, but I know she had mentioned that if you're salary and you work for Ohio State, you get paid once a month. So they may say Urban Meyer and Gene Smith are getting without pay. They're basically just cutting their salary in half for that month, basically, and they're still getting paid.
That's actually a really interesting point you brought up there, Big Cass. I did not know that. That's actually kind of a big point. So, I mean, too, these guys make so much money, they can go without a paycheck. You know, yeah, like
that's like pocket change to them. Okay, all right. Again, I guess Urban can say, "Sorry, Shelly, we cannot go to, we can't go downtown and eat dinner this week because I don't have the extra money."
Yeah, I mean, hey, Ohio State, if you're listening, you know, maybe you can shell some of that cash me and Big Cass's way. We'd really appreciate it. I mean, you know, we're two good guys, and we work hard. And, you know, I mean, what are you going to do with it? Keep it for yourselves? No, ship it here. Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's only probably like 10, 20 grand. But you know what? Big Cass has a wedding coming up. He needs the money, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I got a wedding, and it's Zach Bourne days away, man.
So let's get into our Who's In segment, Big Cass. This week we're going to do Who's In of Urban Meyer's games at Ohio State. I guess in honor, I don't want to say in honor because I feel like that would offend some people, but I guess just because of Urban Meyer.
Yeah, unanimous. We both had Bama, Sugar Bowl, and from 2015, the Sugar Bowl against Bama at number one, between number one and two, we had 2016 Michigan and 2015 Bama Sugar Bowl. So those are locks at number one and two. Am I correct?
Yeah, I'll let you go first. But I'm literally gonna just, I gotta decide this on my. I'm still conflicted because I was at both and both games were amazing. But I'll let you go first.
I mean, anytime you've been in an SEC school, we've been I'm putting 2016 Michigan. I know I listed number one Bama Sugar Bowl, but I'm listening number two 2016 Michigan. Whenever you win the game in double overtime by an inch, and then the next play you just give it to Curtis Samuel and Ohio State wins. That right there just trumps all. I mean, as much as I hate the SEC and I hate Alabama, I hate Michigan even more. And just seeing that, that's number one. And then number two is the 2015 Sugar Bowl when Cardell Jones and Zeke Elliott just rolled over the Crimson Tide. And the game wasn't as close as the score was. And then number three is 2017 Penn State. I was there on the field. I was maybe 30 yards away when Marcus Ball caught that ball, and I was on the sidelines. And, Dan, if you want, I'll send that picture to you, and you can post it on the Ohio State Twitter page saying, you know, this is where Big Cass was, you know, basically last year during that game.
Yeah, we'll do that tomorrow. We'll do that's actually a good idea. We'll post it on the Bunch of Nuts Twitter page.
Yeah. And then 2012 Michigan, Urban Meyer's first Michigan game. I was at that game also. Cold, Brady Hoke's out there when it's 25 degrees and short sleeve t-shirt looking like a tool bag. And I was kind of worried. I mean, at the end of the half, Michigan led, I believe, after Denard Robinson runs in between a C.J. Barnett and a Ryan Shazier missed tackle as they tried to rip his head off, and he just squeezed between them and scored a touchdown. But Ohio State still came out and prevailed and stopped the run in the second half. That was my top four, first four. And then first out, the 2015 National Championship, probably the out of the top six that I have, the biggest blowout is just whenever you win a national championship, it still trumps a lot of the games.
Agreed.
Excuse me. And in 2014 Penn State, when Joey Bosa, double overtime, just completely knocks the offensive lineman into a running back, into Christian Hackenberg, to win the game.
Yeah, no, I actually had that in my top four. So I'll start from the bottom up. I had in Urban Meyer's first season at Wisconsin in 2012, the double overtime win. Basically, you know, that game, that was, I believe, second last game of the season, propelled us to the undefeated season and kind of really laid the foundation for what was to come.
What was it, like a 14-7 final score?
I think 21-14, and Carlos Hyde scored the game winner.
Yeah.
In overtime.
I think Ryan Shazier, when it was fourth and goal, made Monty Ball fumble. And that touchdown would have been the record, Barry Sanders record breaker. I mean, Monty Ball went the next week and broke it, but it was glad to see that he did not break a record against the Buckeyes.
Absolutely. You do not want to be in the record book for bad reasons. My number five game I had, 2016, when we went into Norman and stomped Baker Mayfield in Oklahoma after they said we had a basic defense.
Yeah, whatever happened to that backup quarterback?
He just you know what? They kind of, I guess they probably just flew him quietly out of Oklahoma, and they brought in Kyler Murray.
When we get into our step out of the Big Ten conference and step into the Big 12 and Pac-12 today, I kind of like that kid, and I'll explain later.
And yeah, that's going to be a fun segment. This week we're previewing the Big 12 and the Pac-12, and then next week we're going to do the SEC and the ACC. So we're doing all the Power Fives. And then, obviously, we know our thoughts on the Big Ten. But number four, I had Penn State 2014. Because without that game, if we don't win that game, we don't even go to the playoff. So that game was huge. Obviously, the Bosa sack.
Honestly, and going back to that game, we both had that in top four or something like that?
Yeah.
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
No, I had it in top six. My bad. But anyways, but yeah, that's the game I think that really propelled the Buckeyes and brought that team together. And because after that game, we exploded, man.
We did. Didn't we go play Michigan State, I think, a week or two after?
2 weeks after, because I think there was either a bye week or we played somebody else before that.
But anyway, my number three is actually another Penn State game, the 2017. That's consensus number three right there.
Yeah, consensus number three. Our top three are probably the same. I really think so.
I'm going to put the Michigan game number two. Just because the fact that it wasn't – the Alabama-Michigan games were just as epic. But I think the day itself I had, I think I enjoyed it more being in New Orleans than I did at the Michigan game, because the Michigan game was an emotional day for me because it was my last home game as a Buckeye in college. And, you know, just a lot of emotions. It was a cold day. And it was a lot of ups and downs, too, because, like, it wasn't looking good for us. And, I mean, obviously we know the spot was good, but when that was under review, my heart, man, like, I swear, I suffered more heart attacks in that period of time than Urban Meyer has when he was at Florida. And now I'm going to say Alabama, number one, because it just felt good beating Bama. There's nothing like that.
I'm gonna have to say, let's move Alabama one, and then 2016 Michigan two, and then three 2017 Penn State. Those are unanimous top three, so I'll agree with you, and that'll be the Buns of Nuts first three. Yeah. And then number four, I think we had totally different.
Yeah, I mean number four is a wild card, like it's always supposed to be. But let's get into, I guess, the big news. You know, like I've said it probably like three or four times already. Urban Meyer's been suspended three games for, I guess, not disclosing Zach Smith's alleged domestic violence.
Or basically this, basically not watching Zach Smith like a hawk.
Yeah. So I mean, what are our thoughts on it? I know we released an article this morning, but let's get your thoughts on this, Big Cass. What are your thoughts about the suspension?
Honestly, after thinking about it and reading the report and all everything that's gone down, I believe it was a fair assumption that it was a fair suspension. I think if they suspended him for Rutgers and Oregon State, the media would still be like, okay, that's not enough. I mean, even though right now the media is saying it's not enough, Buckeye fans say, a lot of Buckeye fans are saying it's too much. But coming down to it, he made a mistake, he lied, he's human. We're all human. We all make mistakes. As much as I don't want to stick up for Gene Smith, but I believe that I feel the same way about him too. They feel Urban is. I don't know if he's mad at himself. I believe he's more upset with himself and more upset with anything. But like I told my buddy Aaron, who's a great buddy of mine, you were on 14 Bullets with us last night, but this was a personal conversation. We were talking about the Penn State and the Ohio State situation, and they're kind of similar. They kind of are.
Agreed.
I believe that Joe Pa shouldn't have lost his job. I believe that a suspension, yeah. Because they're not the ones that abused. They were not the ones that put all this together. The people who failed in this both investigations in Ohio State, just going back to Ohio State now, the person that failed the most and the person that should have to apologize to Buckeye Nation, to Courtney Smith, to Urban Meyer, to Gene Smith, is Zach Smith. And why the media does not point everything at him is wrongdoing. Yes, Urban Meyer made a mistake. Gene Smith made a mistake. People are human. They can't watch everybody 24/7. I can't watch everybody 24/7. I believe the suspension was right. I believe that everybody should move on from it and guaranteed football. But the person that should have to apologize to Courtney Smith, to Urban Meyer, to Gene Smith, to Buckeye Nation is Zach Smith, because he failed everybody, not Urban Meyer. And I'm done. Drop. Mic drop.
I agree. I mean, at the end of the day, this would have never happened if Zach Smith wasn't, you know, being a schmuck, if he wasn't hitting his wife, if he wasn't going to strip clubs while he was married with
Tom Herman.
Yeah, I mean, that's been confirmed today, too. It was Tom Herman who was at the strip club, so that's kind of a crazy thing about this, too. And, but I have this article pulled up here by 11 Warriors, the 10 things we learned from the investigation, and I'm not going to bore our listeners to death by, you know, going through the 23-page report of legal terms. I barely read it. I'm not even going to lie. I tried to, and I'm just like, this is all legal jargon, and this was not fun to read. But I will give you basically the spark notes of what the report, you know, said, according to this 11 Warriors article, and it's the 10 things we learned. So, one, Urban Meyer and Gene Smith acted in good faith, but not perfectly. So that's their first point.
Okay.
Urban Meyer, and this is the second point, is at Media Day. Urban Meyer was focused on felony allegations while answering Media Day questions. So when he said about Brett McMurphy's thing, I don't know who would ever make a story like that, that's what he was talking about. Number three, Gene Smith did not know about the 2009 allegations against Zach Smith.
Okay, because there was no arrest.
Yes.
When he ran his background check, there was no arrest.
Yep. Number four, Shelley and Urban Meyer maintained that Urban was unaware of texts from Courtney Smith.
Yeah, during the fall of 2015, and I said this before, I believe Shelley kept it from Urban to have him focus on football. My opinion.
Number five, Zach Smith kept Ohio State and Urban Meyer in the dark.
Yeah, I totally agree. Urban Meyer did not know about the 2013 incident when he got arrested. I totally believe that. I think because Zach Smith knew he was on his last leg with Urban Meyer after the strip club incident, that he kept things away and from Urban Meyer.
And this includes his 2018 criminal trespass charge, so the one that just happened, his 2013 arrest for an OVI, the sexual relationship with the secretary on the football staff, the photographs taken on the work phone, and the sex toys. So that's basically everything he didn't disclose.
And Urban Meyer didn't know. Now, the confusing thing is the deleted text messages.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
Yeah, so, but I agree with 11 Warriors. People, like I said, when I said, everybody is human. Everybody makes mistakes. I've made mistakes. I'm sure, Dan, you've made mistakes.
Absolutely.
Urban Meyer, human being, he just happens to be the highest paid employee in the state of Ohio and happens to be the head football coach at a major university like Ohio State.
So we're halfway through this article, but number six, the decision to fire Zach Smith came after the civil protection order. So I guess the first thing they've heard about Zach Smith doing something wrong, they fired him.
Yeah.
Number seven, investigators found no messages older than 1 year on Urban Meyer's phone. So you just kind of brought this up, but I found that very interesting.
Yeah. I don't have messages on my phone from a year.
Yeah, I don't think that's a weird thing to do. I mean,
granted what they're talking about, he deleted them the next day. They happened to delete. He asked his lawyer, blah, blah, blah. Okay.
This isn't a Hillary Clinton, like, email scandal type thing. This is just, I think... He, after a year, just kind of started delete. Like, he deleted. People delete messages over a year. Like, it's just a common thing.
I do.
Number eight. Zach Smith attended a strip club on a recruiting visit, ditched other recruiting visits. And this is kind of crazy, too, because everyone's saying Zach Smith's a good recruiter. Imagine how much better he could have been if he didn't ditch other visits.
Right.
Yeah, that's kind of wild there to me. Number nine, investigators found no evidence suggesting a Title IX violation.
There you go. Bingo. Nothing on there like Stanley Jackson said on 105.7 The Zone, and Chris Spielman said also, none of that on there is a fireable offense to Urban Meyer.
And then number 10, apparently Earl Bruce did speak to Courtney Smith, but it was after the 2009 incident, and that's really it. But, I mean, that's tough because the guy who would love to talk to, Earl Bruce, is unfortunately dead.
And he, I mean, unfortunately, who knows how his memory was because he did have Alzheimer's.
And speaking of memory, Urban Meyer has had some memory issues. We got to bring this up, Big Cass, you know.
Yeah. I know that he's had fluid on his he's had a cyst drained twice since he's been at Ohio State. That's on his brain, and that could probably cause some memory loss. I don't know. I mean,
I'm not a doctor. I'm a podcaster.
Yeah, I am a broadcaster. I'm a football analyst and all that jazz.
But, yeah, I think that was worth bringing up because people were saying, I believe at the press conference he brought up that, you know, he's forgotten some stuff and people are calling, you know, calling him out on that. But he has had, you know, a medical history of having problems with his brain. I mean, too, he did play football in college. People forget. I'm not saying he has CTE or anything, but I'm sure he's gotten his bell rung a couple times too.
Right.
But that's really all our thoughts on the Urban Meyer situation. I think we kind of touched on everything and all the findings. But how is this going to affect recruiting, Big Cass? You got your recruiting update this week. Let's hear it.
Well, it's not affecting anything. All the guys, including Harry Miller, quarterback, highly recruited quarterback, all these guys are standing behind Coach Urban Meyer. And it's also another article from our great friends over at 11 Warriors has Garrett Wilson. Just good to have him back in some normalcy again. Georgia five-star center Harry Miller. It's great and definitely a huge relief to have this settled. Mentor, four-star defensive end Noah Potter. I'm happy he's back. Georgia four-star athlete Steel Chambers. Happy he is back and leading the team. Tennessee three-star tight end Cameron Hamilton. Honestly, I'm glad his suspension and not completely off the team to not coach. Shout goes out to the Buckeye family. Cincinnati St. Xavier, five-star offensive tackle, Paris Johnson Jr., very highly recruited, says, glad to have Coach Meyer back. Georgia four-star offensive tackle, Jake Ray, I'm excited to see what the Buckeyes can do this year and very glad to have our coach back. New Jersey four-star offensive guard, Luke Weifler, just happy everything worked out. Of course, all this news broke during a late school night and after players' practices, but these are some big, big names for the 2019 class, and they're all fully committed.
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone's still all in, which is great to see. And the biggest thing is just how is this going to affect the Zach Harrison decision? That's the biggest thing at this point. But I mean, he is a hometown kid. You would hope we get him, but it was kind of up in the air to begin with, so that's yet to be determined.
I think we'll get him. I honestly think we will. Because I think he's going to see a team that's going to be grown into a family. I'm not trying to compare 2014, but this is kind of a similar situation where 2014 had some issues. But this one was, they were injury issues, and they all grew as a team and grew as a family and grew, and I believe come 8 days away, when you're Gary and Conley days away, when you're listening to this, people, this team is growing as a family, and they'll be ready to go for Oregon State.
Speaking of Oregon State, this is a great segue. They're in the Pac-12, and this week we're starting with our I guess a two-part series. We're gonna preview the Power Five conferences. Everyone knows our thoughts on the Big Ten. But let's get into it, Big Cass. Let's start with the So this week we're doing the Big 12 and the Pac 12. Next week it's the ACC and the SEC. Let's start with the Big 12.
Yeah. I broke it down, and I think, obviously, Kansas, Baylor, Texas Tech will be the bottom three. These three, I think Kansas State and Iowa State will be competitive, but don't have the talent just yet to get up there. I think Oklahoma State, they takes a step back after losing James Washington and the kid that went to Pittsburgh, what's his name? Quarterback. Slipping my mind.
Pittsburgh. What team are you talking about?
Oklahoma State.
Oh.
Mason Rudolph.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, the Steelers. I was thinking of Pitt.
Right. And then I think they'll finish fourth. No, fifth. And then TCU will finish fourth. They lost their big defensive tackles. They're an unknown. Them and Oklahoma State are very an unknown in the Big 12, in my opinion. Texas, West Virginia, and Oklahoma will all contend for the Big 12 championship. I just think Oklahoma, I mean, Will Grier is probably one of the best players in the conference, but they don't have the defense. I think Oklahoma has the best defense in the Big 12, which is not saying much, even though they held the Buckeyes to 16 points last year. But Oklahoma has the better athletes there. I think they'll come out as the champions in this league. And I'm going with Kyler Murray as the player of the year, just because everybody knows what Will Grier can do. Will Grier may be a Heisman candidate, but he may not win the player of the year. I think that as good as Grier is, I think Kyler Murray is just going to be explode on the scene, and I think Oklahoma will win the Big 12, and Kyler Murray will win Big 12 Player of the Year. But I also think that Tom Herman will win Coach of the Year because he'll kind of bring Texas back.
You don't think that Kyler Murray is going to be playing a little scared this year because, you know, he's got that baseball career going and he's maybe looking ahead. You don't think he might, if they lose a couple games early, he might shut it down?
I don't think so. I think he does have that baseball mentality, but Lincoln Riley is a young, great coach, as we know. And I think he'll have the Sooners ready. And I like what this kid's game is. I really like Kylan Murray.
And you also think that Tom Herman, I mean, with everything going on right now that he's kind of in the middle of this story with the strip club and potentially leaking stuff. You think he's going to be able, you know, focus on Texas?
Well, when I put this thing together, I didn't hear about Tom Herman being the guy with Zach Smith.
Ah.
So, but I think Tom Herman can be focused and try to put this behind him and coach a great season. I mean, I think they have two or three losses this year. We'll put them at 9-3 and a good decent bowl game. Or they may only. I think they'll have two or three losses. I think they'll lose to Oklahoma. It's an iffy one with West Virginia. And they could slip up somewhere else, but I really like Texas this year. I don't like them winning the conference, no. I still like the Sooners. I mean, I think the Sooners just are deep, man.
All right, so I'm gonna go through what I think's going to happen. Obviously, Kansas bottomed the barrel. I think Texas Tech will be the second worst team, followed by Kansas State. I honestly think Baylor is going to be a little better. I mean, I think they'll probably be like the fourth worst team. I think they're kind of on the rise a little more because they got Jalen Hurd. I mean, he was a solid player at Tennessee. He's really kind of revitalized himself as a wide receiver. Then I have Texas and Oklahoma State kind of, you know, in the middle. I think Texas isn't there yet. And Oklahoma State, they lost too much, but they have Mike Gundy, great coach. This is where it's going to get nuts. I have West Virginia as the fourth best team. I don't think Will Grier is that great. I really don't. I think David Sills, the wide receiver, he's a stud, but they're going to slip up West Virginia. I think they're going to lose a couple games that they shouldn't. Oklahoma, they are not going to go to the Big 12 championship. That's my prediction. I think losing Baker Mayfield is really going to hurt them. And you know what? This is going to be a huge test for Lincoln Riley because, you know, Bob Stoops left him basically the keys to a Ferrari, a brand new Ferrari, and all you had to do is drive it straight. And, you know, he did a pretty good job of that. But now, you know, he had a whole year to recruit. He's going to he might not be bringing in the same type of guys. We're going to see this year if Lincoln Riley's the real deal. I'm not sold. I have an absolute shocker, though. Iowa State will be going to the Big 12 championship game. I think Matt Campbell is a fantastic coach. They played they had a really good year last year, kind of beat everyone's expectations. And a couple games big games they have this year, they have at home. They start out with San Diego, South Dakota State, and Iowa. I believe they'll win both of those. Then they play Oklahoma at home. That's a huge game. They get them at home. They also
that would be a revenge game for Oklahoma also.
It will be, but it's also at home, so we'll see. We'll see. They also get West Virginia at home. So they get probably the two best teams in the conference other than TCU at home. I think the scheduling really works out for them. And they also have a really good quarterback and running back. Their quarterback, I think, is like in his fifth or sixth year. He's a veteran. And their running back, Montgomery, he's a stud. He had 1,000 yards last year. He's going to probably be an NFL player. I mean, most definitely an NFL player. So I really think Iowa State, man, they're going to sneak up on some people this year. And I think they'll go to the Big 12 championship game. And they're going to lose to TCU.
Wow. I mean, you have the fourth and fifth best teams at number one and two in your rankings. But hey, it's a wild season. I think I went a little more conservative with my pick more than what you did, and I like your pick. I really do. I like the Iowa State TCU matchup. I really do.
Like, I feel like it, you can see it at least. Like,
yeah,
it's not. It probably won't happen. These are all just kind of guesses, but I think you can see it. But obviously, the champs then are going to be TCU. I think that defense is going to be great. And my player of the year is going to be the quarterback, Sean Robinson, TCU. I think if he plays a great game against Ohio State, who are on the schedule, and he really dominates, that's going to really turn some heads. And I was watching some film on him. He's a dual threat quarterback. He's pretty good, dude. He's kind of like a JT Barrett.
Yeah, I think so, but I think Ohio State has the defense to shut him down. I really do. And make his night miserable, like I hope.
Well, I mean, the good thing is, too, even if they lose to Ohio State, though, it won't really affect them in the Big 12 because in college football, only conference games really affect you. So that's really just a game to potentially go to the playoff.
Right.
And my coach of the year is Matt Campbell.
Okay, I can see that. All right, let's move to the Pac-12.
Who you got, Big Cass?
Pac-12 North. I think Oregon State and Cal. They're just bad. Like, they're just bad. I'm sorry. Washington State is going to drop off. I think Oregon, Stanford, and Washington. You could really flip a coin, but I just think Oregon's not ready yet, and I think it'd be Stanford and Washington. But I think Washington will have the edge and win the Pac-12 North. Now the South is where you get tricky.
Oh yeah,
Colorado, Arizona State. Okay, who knows with them? Nobody does. Utah is one of them teams that I have them finishing fourth in the division. But Utah is one of them teams that could shock teams. But USC and UCLA will fight, I think, for the second and third spot because I'm picking Arizona to win the South.
Okay. Khalil Tate, you're on the Khalil Tate train?
Khalil Tate with Kevin Sumlin in a Pac-12 where he ran a pretty good defense pretty good offense in Texas A&M. Now he's got the best, if not top five quarterback in the country, Khalil Tate. I'm rolling with the Wildcats. I wasn't conservative with them. I think I'm going to pull up their schedule right now. I think their schedule favors them in the Pac-12. I like Khalil Tate and Kevin Sumlin a lot.
I love Khalil Tate, but I'm not sold on that Arizona team yet. I'm not sold on the pieces around him.
Johnny Manziel, he had Mike. Okay, he's the one that really brought Mike Evans to life when it came all said and done. He really did. Come on, computer. Wildcats. Okay, I think their schedule favors them, man. They have USC at home. They have to go on the road to Houston, which will be, believe it or not, is a tough test.
That is. Houston's a good non-group of five team.
Yeah, they do go to UCLA. They go to the Rose Bowl where now there's Chip Kelly. But they have Arizona State at home. They have Colorado at home. They have Oregon at home. They have USC at home. The game I look on their schedule, and it favors them, that could be tough, is at UCLA or at Utah.
All right. You ready for my picks now, Big Cass?
Well, hold on. But my obviously... I have Washington winning the Pac-12, and I think out of these two conferences, I think Washington is the team that gets in the college football playoff over Oklahoma or anybody in the Big 12. I think Washington wins the conference. I think Khalil Tate and Jake Browning, I think it's like one of those things where Khalil Tate can win the media player of the year, and Jake Browning won the coaches player of the year.
I can see that.
And I'm going to go with Chip Kelly winning the media coach of the year, and then Kevin Sumlin winning the coaches coach of the year.
I like how you kind of threw that in there, the media and the coaches. I didn't even think of that, Big Cass. That's some higher level thinking right there.
Hey, sometimes, but yeah, I have Washington winning the Pac-12 and getting to the college football playoff.
All right, I mean, that's a safe pick, I feel like, but I see it. I 100% see that. So, I got, coming out of the North Division, I got Stanford.
Okay, yeah, I mean, like I said at the beginning when I started doing this, it was a flip of coin between Stanford and Washington.
I think Bryce Love is the best player probably in the country. I mean, he's a stud, that dude. He is going to be so good in the NFL. I can't wait to watch him. Whatever team drafts him, he's going to be a monster. I mean, people were going nuts over Saquon Barkley this year, but I'm excited to see Bryce Love next year. That guy is a monster. So I have Stanford in Washington, Stanford, then followed by Washington, Washington State, Oregon, Cal, Oregon State. That's the North Division. I have in the South. You ready for this, Big Cass?
Yeah.
Utah winning that.
Wow.
Utah, and here's my logic behind this. All right, Stanford. I forgot to mention. Obviously, they have Bryce Love, but they have KJ Costello. I like him as a QB. And they have some really tall wide receivers so they can just throw jump balls to. But
Stanford, I'm looking at their schedule. Mm-hmm. It is brutal.
It is.
They have San Diego State at home next Friday. Then they turn around and play USC at home. So luckily they get those games back to back. And I'm telling you, San Diego State's good.
Yeah.
Then they get UC Davis, okay. Then they go to Oregon, and then to Notre Dame.
Yeah, but all right. So anyway, I completely forgot to mention Utah. This is why I think they're going to be good. Kyle Whittingham is a great coach. I think we know this. I mean, he's
a pretty good coach.
I mean, he's unreal in bowl games, big games. Their schedule is super favorable, though, Big Cass. They play two cupcake games to start, Weber State and then Northern Illinois. Should win that.
Still tougher than Alabama.
Yeah, pretty much, actually. Then their third game of the year, they have number 6 Washington at home, though. And Washington, they're going to be pretty – they're going to be beat up at that point because they just played Auburn week one. I know they have a week to rest, but it's a good chance to get caught off guard. They also have USC at home. They have Oregon at home. And they have Arizona at home, your pick. So they have good teams coming to play them. So that's really why I think that Utah is going to sneak up on some people this year. And but ultimately Stanford is going to win the division. They're going to win the Pac-12. My player of the year is Bryce Love because he's probably going to be one of the Heisman front runners. And my coach of the year though is going to be Kyle Whittingham.
But yeah, like I said, I looked at Stanford. Their schedule is brutal, man. They do go to Washington, which is that place is unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean it's a tough place to play, but it's not like it's not impossible. I mean, what week do they go to Washington?
I think 8.
That is kind of tough.
Late October.
That's rough. Yeah, it's gonna be cold then.
Cold and rainy.
Well, I mean, it's always cold and rainy there, Seattle. Or Puget Sound.
Yeah. So, out of the Big 12 and Pac 12, do any of the teams make the college football playoff?
I think. Ooh, that's tough. I'm gonna go with the Pac 12 champ. Because they didn't get in last year. I think something changes this year.
Yeah, that's what I'd be Stanford. And honestly, with that schedule, if they have one loss with that schedule, I think they're a lock.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I guess that does it for our preview of the Big 12 and the Pac-12, right, Big Cass? Any last words?
Next week is going to be fun because ACC, which it could be unanimous that we both might have Clemson, but who knows? We might have somebody else.
Speaking of Clemson, I got to tell you guys this, listeners. I will actually be in Clemson this time tomorrow. I am going to a wedding next weekend, but I'm doing kind of a little mini vacation. And tomorrow, I'm stopping off on a road trip in Clemson, South Carolina. So. You know, might make for a good quick segment down there, or you know, I'm gonna go check out, you know, Death Valley, see what that's all about, and I'm gonna really get a feel for what Clemson's bringing to the table.
Okay, enjoy.
Yeah, no, I mean it's gonna be. I'm preparing for next week's segment. I'm gonna do my dirty work and find out if Clemson's for real or not. I'm gonna ask the fans and see what it's like. But let's get into our love to see it, hate to see it segment, Big Cass.
Okay.
Well, I'll start it off. What I love to see this week, JT Barrett, my boy, scored it was a 12-yard touchdown in his preseason game. Kind of mentioned it before, but I love JT Barrett. Glad he scored a touchdown.
Awesome, yeah. That was pretty cool. I loved it. Oh, you want my love to see it?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, folks. I love to see that I got my Nick Bosa jersey in. I'm ready for it. And a day later after I got my Nick Bosa jersey, he was named first team AP preseason All-American. I love to see that.
You do love to see that. My hate to see it. I feel like I always do this for my hate to see it. It's always something about the Columbus crew, but... All right, so Austin released photos of their potential MLS team, Big Cass. Their name's Austin FC, and excuse my language, but their logo is a fucking tree. A fucking tree.
A tree.
A tree. A tree. And they stole, so in soccer, they do these things called TIFOs, and it's like a giant a giant college game day sign, essentially, that you put in the stadium during the game. And the crew did one said, respect your roots. Basically, since the crew were the first team in MLS that, you know, don't move them. What does Anthony Precourt do? He designs literally a freaking logo with that literally looks exactly like this tree. Kind of rub it in Columbus's face. And I'm pretty ticked off talking about this. And Anthony Precourt, I mean, with everything going on in Urban Meyer and Zach Smith, I ran a poll, and a guy who beats his wife is still not as hated as much as Anthony Precourt. So that tells you something about this guy. He must be a real jerk off.
Yeah. My hate to see it has to go to Denzel Ward tonight getting injured with a back injury and did not return for the Browns game. Not a Browns fan, but I love my Buckeyes, and Denzel Ward is a Buckeye, and I hate to see any Buckeyes get hurt. I also hate to see that there's life flight, because I live by the hospital, flying to the hospital right now, so prayers go out to that family, whoever's on life flight.
Oh, yeah, and also, I also hate to see, this is, I was going to mention it at the end of the show, but I'll mention it now. Prayers out to Hawaii. They have like a hurricane, a category 4 or 5 hurricane come to them. I didn't even know the Pacific gets hurricanes. I thought they got like typhoons or something, but prayers out to the state of Hawaii.
Yeah, they've had a rough year with the volcano and now a hurricane. Maybe this hurricane will cool down this lava. I mean, might be a good for them, unfortunately. So prayers for Hawaii and prayers for the victim that might have either got life flighted or is getting life flighted to a Columbus hospital.
Someone who I will not be something I will not be praying for, Big Casto, is the entire SEC conference. Let's get into bashing the SEC.
Okay. Let's get into this. And all their goons, not their teams specifically, but their goons. Paul Feinbaum, the main leader of the goons. Some of the guys at Armchair, I'm not going to mention names because I'm not that type of guy. Do they only see one side of the story? Do they only see one thing that they want to believe in? Have they turned in to CNN?
Fake news. Witch hunt.
Exactly. I have nothing but everybody has their opinion. I respect that. That's who I am. I don't mention any names. I'm not going to throw any name bashers besides Paul Feinbaum. And it's ridiculous on how biased somebody can be and only believe one thing that they see. They act like Urban Meyer was the one putting his hands on Courtney Smith. So guess what came out that I stumbled upon? Did a little research myself because that's who I am and I want to find something to just shut people up. The Orlando Sentinel posted an article March 30th, 2015, stating Nick Saban. The headline of this article says, "Oh, you little ad."
Oh, no. Support journalism, though. Support journalism.
Yeah, yes. Nick Saban, Alabama, the SEC, owe an apology to all domestic violence victims. I was so irate when I read this that I didn't even comprehend it. So did you happen to read it? My friend.
Yeah, it was basically, so they had a player, I skimmed it, I didn't fully read it, I thought you were going to read it, I'm not even going to lie.
I skimmed it and read it, and it was just, it's frustrating to me, because how this got flown under the desk and not talked about is what really ticked me off.
From what I got with it, I forgot the player's name, but they recruited a player with a past of violent, like domestic violence.
Jonathan Taylor, not the running back from Wisconsin, but
they recruited this player, And, you know, he had a prior history of domestic violence. And what does he do at Alabama? The same thing.
Yeah. He was kicked off the University of Georgia's football team for aggravated assault in January of 2015. Saban screwed him and brought him back to Alabama, and he does the same thing.
That's bad.
But yet Urban Meyer gets in trouble for keeping a coach who allegedly
yeah. So Urban Meyer can give a guy the benefit of the doubt and he gets like destroyed, but Nick Saban can do the same thing and we're just like, it's he's the GOAT.
Yeah.
I don't get that either, Big Cass. My bashing of the SEC this week goes to Paul Feinbaum. He's not even bum. I'm taking the A out. He's Paul Feinbaum. And he says that Urban Meyer has underachieved at Ohio State. Dude, what are you saying? Explain to me how first season he went 12-0. Probably should have won a national championship his first year. Unfortunately, he inherited an Ohio State team that was on probation. Not his fault. Wins a national championship his third year. Then he says, though, 2015 was the biggest choke job because he didn't give the ball to Ezekiel Elliott. Whoa, Paul Feinbaum. Paul Feinbaum. If you were half the reporter that you were, you would have realized that Zeke was in the hospital that whole week with a staph infection. And that kid played his heart out as much as he could. But you know what? The Ohio State coaches cared about Zeke, and they didn't want to destroy his career. And, you know, they fed the ball to Curtis Samuel instead. But, you know what? It happens. We lost. I'll accept it. But it wasn't a choke job. It wasn't at all.
Yeah, they're just finding anything and everything to bash Ohio State and butt-rape Urban Meyer. Like, Urban Meyer is... Everybody is putting the blame on everything on Urban Meyer, and now they're pulling stuff like this. Speaking of which, Baker Mayfield just threw a pick. I don't know if you saw it, but took a nasty hit. Is it time for Hugh Jackson to think, okay, Tyrod Taylor just broke his hand, and now his backup is playing a lot, which you got to get Baker some reps, but Baker's going to be your starting quarterback game one now. Shouldn't you, okay, it's fourth quarter in the preseason, take him out.
Give us Brogan Rollback, man. We want Brogan.
Yeah. Anyways, but going back to Paul Feinbaum now that we're going to call him, I don't know. He looks like a Disney Pixar character. He really does.
I know. He's that dude who played a chess in one of those movies. The old man with the bald head.
Yes. Yes. But anyways... Well, like people have said, do you think that after this suspension's over, yeah, they'll give him, like, do you think when Urban Meyer goes into Happy Valley and they beat Penn State, do you think the talks about Urban Meyer will be over? Or do you think that they'll be praising him, saying, oh, guy comes off the suspension and just comes out of nowhere and beats top five Penn State team or top 10 Penn State team on the road. Got to give it to Urban Meyer. That's how hypocritical Paul Feinbaum is.
That guy just gets my blood boiling. He looks like a troll. Like he is a real life troll. I've never seen anything like it.
How can one company keep guys like that or women like that, because Sarah Spain was trashing Urban Meyer last night, but how can a company keep guys like that? I don't understand.
I don't.
You got Rick Davis and Kirk Herbstreit kind of sticking up for Urban Meyer, saying, yeah, he made mistakes. He didn't do right thing at the right time. He made mistakes. Let's move on, basically, is what they're saying.
What I hate about these pundits is the fact that they try to come off as they're objective. They act like they're not biased, but it's obvious they're biased.
Yeah, it is. And it's really sickening to watch, my friend. It really is.
Like, I have no... I'd rather just have them tell us straight. We're biased. Like, we either just prefer this team or we root for whoever. But that's fine with me. But just don't give me the fake notion that, you know, they're not biased.
Yeah.
But, all right. Enough of that. Let's get into what is that team up north up to?
Hey, named the starting quarterback.
They did.
You want to name it?
Shea Patterson. Shocker.
Shocker. We all knew that, Mr. Harbaugh. Mr. Harbaugh. We all knew.
Did you see he had a whiteboard, though, big ass? He had a whiteboard. Marty Smith was there, I guess, checking out Michigan. And he saw his whiteboard. And he had some interesting quotes. One of them said, "Fat is the enemy of speed." Come on.
It is, though. It is. He's right, but it's weird. I'm sorry.
He's a treasure, honestly. Like,
he is. Oh, by the way, Baker Mayfield's in the injury tent.
Are you kidding? Oh, I think someone just caught a touchdown. Oh, the Eagles just caught a touchdown pass. Number 19.
I'm 15 seconds behind you.
Davis.
Oh. Touchdown, Eagles.
Right. Wow. But, yeah. Sorry, I stepped on you there, Big Cass.
It's okay. It's funny. Harbaugh's the character. And how about Skip Bayless saying that Jim Harbaugh's the best coach in college football?
I don't even know. what?
Yeah, all right, he said Nick Saban was overrated and Jim Harbaugh was the best coach in college football.
I can name five coaches better right now off the top of my head. 1, Urban. 2, Nick Saban. 3, Dabo. 4, who were you saying?
Kirby Smart.
Oh, yeah, Kirby Smart. Gus Malzahn. Mark D'Antonio.
Chris Peterson. James Franklin. Paul Christ.
Maybe Lincoln Riley?
Nah, Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, I'd say that. But, I mean, that's just ignorant. Come on, Skip. And Skip's a guy who, him and, like, Colin Cowherd, they sometimes bring up decent points, but their job just requires them to talk so much that, like, after, like, talking for, like, an hour, like, they just start not making sense at all.
This is a little bit breaking news. Zach Smith has talked a little bit. He says, oh wait, this was from Jared Smiley from Channel 4. Said just then, former OSU assistant Zach Smith wrote on his Twitter account in reaction to Ohio State investigation, "Can't wait to disclose the 2.5-hour investigation interview I gave the two people OSU employed to find out if Coach Urban Meyer and Gene Smith did anything wrong. Questions were bizarre and very clear. They weren't investigating anything. They were supposed to be investigating media backlash."
So do you think this could get worse for us then?
I don't think so. I think eventually that I think Ohio State's going to put this behind them. I think, well, with Gene Smith and Urban Meyer, I think they'll put this behind them. It's going to be what Zach Smith and Courtney Smith do.
True, true, true. So as we wrap up here, I guess a couple points I want to touch on. We really haven't talked basketball a lot, but the basketball schedule came out, and
yeah, I'm angry.
Me too. I think I know why you're angry. Is it because that we don't get Michigan at home this year?
We only get them once.
I know. Like, that's ridiculous. I don't get the basketball scheduling because it's like we play more teams, I feel like, from the West Division than we do the East. Shouldn't it be the opposite?
Well, and there's no divisions in college basketball.
According,
as a guy who's been around the basketball team a while, you know, a guy that I've rooted for Ohio State basketball since I was a little kid, Michigan State has always been the thorn in Ohio State's side. They're probably the biggest rival in Ohio State for Ohio State basketball.
Yeah.
So to see them twice, it's great. But Ohio State's got to go to the Chrysler Center, and they got to go to Schottenstein Center every year. Michigan State and Michigan are two teams Ohio State should play, and Indiana are the three teams Ohio State should play every year twice.
Absolutely.
Can we play Penn State only once, please?
Yeah. Like, why do we get to pay why do we have to play Penn State twice? I don't want to play them. They're good at like beating us, apparently. That's their one thing they're really good at. It's just taking us down. But
exactly.
It's frustrating. It's frustrating. It's not good for the fans either. The kids want to play each other. The fans want to play. It just doesn't make sense to me. I don't want a home game of Minnesota and Nebraska. Like, we don't want that. We want our rivals, not Rutgers. We want Michigan.
Poor Rutgers. I think in every Big Ten podcast, everybody trashes Rutgers, and I feel bad for them because they're just so bad.
They're just bad at everything. I don't know how they got into the Big Ten. Like, it's just literally, we were talking about this today in the Armchair Banter channel, that literally the New York market has no D1 programs. It's just Rutgers, and that's why they're in the Big Ten.
Well, and most of that talent over there goes to Ohio State, Penn State, or Virginia Tech.
Look, all right, I'll talk about this too. Jordan Fuller, our starting safety, he was probably one of the best athletes in the state of New Jersey in high school. I mean, I remember playing his brother Devin in high school. We beat him in state championship twice. Poor guy. And his brother Jordan, though, did the impossible. He led his team to the state, the Old Tappan's first state championship in like years, in like probably almost over a decade. And, you know, he did that, and he was a better quarterback than his brother. His brother ended up playing in the NFL for like 2 years with the Falcons. But Jordan Fuller, one of the best athletes in New Jersey, you would think he should probably get looked at by Rutgers, and Rutgers should have a good chance at him, but nope. Goes to Ohio State and plays safety. I mean, Jordan Fuller could probably went to Rutgers and been their best quarterback in school history. That's how bad they are at recruiting.
Well, and then you have Saquon Barkley from New Jersey. You have Curtis Samuel, who is from Brooklyn. I mean, those are just some Jeremy Rucker, the tight end for Ohio State. So, I mean, a lot of talent.
Yeah, I mean, everything. There's so much talent. Oh, Jabril Peppers and Rashawn Gary.
Forgot about them.
Yeah. I mean, just so much talent that Rutgers just misses out on just because.
And the guys at Armchair didn't even see that. Like, we were trying to explain, like, the New York market has some good high school football. You need a neutral site at MetLife.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I'm confident, like, my football team, my high school, when I played, I'm confident we could easily compete with you guys out in Ohio. Our program was pretty good, so I think we could honestly compete with you guys. It's just our college teams stink, but we have the Giants and the Jets. That's something, I guess.
The Yankees and the Mets.
That's Speaking of baseball, you got your baseball update. How are the Reds doing?
They play the Cubs this weekend. I think they're getting a break off from the Brewers. I think they took one out of three against the Brewers. So, yeah.
The big cast baseball update.
Yeah. Our Reds stink, man.
It's like, I always want to know, but we all kind of know that the Reds aren't doing anything special, unfortunately, this season.
God love them. And then how about the Indians snapping the Red Sox win streak, though, this week?
Yeah, dude, the Indians are nice. Melky Cabrera, former Yankee, he's playing fantastic. Greg Allen in the outfield, he's looking like a Billy Hamilton out there.
Yeah. But yeah, that's way. You know, baseball's over for me, though.
Yeah. There's always next year. But I guess as we kind of end this week's episode, make sure to like, subscribe to us, comment, do all that good stuff. Number two, check out the t-shirts we have for sale on Teespring. We got some short sleeve Bunch of Nuts shirts and some long sleeves. I'm wearing mine right now. It's a long sleeve one I got because the weather's going to start getting cooler, and I love it. It's pretty cool. It's a black shirt. It says Bunch of Nuts, State of Ohio. You know, good if you want to rep it on game day or something. You know, football's back this weekend, Big Cass.
Yeah, it is. I'll be broadcasting color analyst for megasportsnews.com. I said at the top of the program, megasportsnews.com, Columbus City League football. We are at Marion Franklin for Central Crossing versus Marion Franklin. So check us out on the broadcast tomorrow night. I will put the link up on Twitter at jcassinger88. When it's all said and done. So check that out.
Absolutely. And we will retweet that on the Bunch of Nuts account for all our listeners to check that out. But as always, Big Cass, always a pleasure.
Tomorrow's Garyon Conley.
Oh, yeah.
When you're listening to this, it's Garyon Conley. And then I am doing an all multiple number seven. It's going to be Ginn, Cornelius Green, Joe Germain, who's some other number sevens?
Jalen Marshall was number seven, I think, for a little when he changed.
I think he was more famous with number 17. But I'm going to do a three-person number seven. Ted Ginn, Cornelius Green, and Joe Germain at number seven on Saturday. And at number six will be my guy, Evan Spencer for the weekend. So check those out. Number five Monday will be Braxton Miller.
The GOAT.
Number four will be Curtis Samuel. And then number three, Demetrius Stanley. Number two will also be a three-person, Chris Carter, Michael Doss, and Malcolm Jenkins. And then number one will be Bradley Roby.
Oh, my Broncos. I love Roby, man. I always remember the game where he got ejected for targeting against Iowa and the fans lost it.
Yeah, just like Denzel Ward last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, it's great talking to you like always. Check this out. Check our t-shirts out. Check my broadcast for City League Football. And Dan, win the moment this week in Ohio against the world, man.
Oh, yeah, man. Ohio against the world. This has been a Bunch of Nuts podcast presented by Armchair All-Americans. Take a seat with us.